Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kresge. By now, you've probably heard the big news of the morning. The U.S. Supreme Court handed down four decisions today, including one that will go down in history. In a 5-4 ruling, the court ruled that gay marriage is now legal in all 50 states. Over the next half hour, we're going to talk about that decision and hear local reaction. And we want to hear from you, too. Did the court make the right decision, or did it go too far? Our number, 816-235-2888. Again, that's 816-235-2888. You can also tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Joining me here this morning, Jolie Justice is a newly elected city council member from the 4th District that includes Westport and the Plaza. She's an attorney and a former state senator. Jolie, congratulations. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Dr. James Brandt is a professor of historical theology and director of contextual education. Jim, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Steve.
KCUR reporter Peggy Lowe is also with me here in the studio. Peggy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
And again, from her office in Washington, D.C. this morning for the second day in a row is Madeline McDonough, who had a front row seat this morning as the decision came down. Madeline, good morning to you.
Happy to be here, Steve. Thanks.
And again, we want to hear from our listeners today. Do you agree with this decision, or do you think the court went too far? 816-235-2888. Jolie, what's your initial reaction on hearing this big decision today? What did you think?
You know, Steve, I was actually in the middle of a continuing legal education program when the decision came down, and everyone was falling their iPads and their iPhones. And as one of the presenters was speaking, there was a big cheer from the crowd. There were about 70 lawyers in the room, and everyone had their eyes glued to their phones. And it was clear very quickly that it was a big deal, and it was a sweeping victory, and we knew that immediately. So obviously this is a huge day for America.
And your personal reaction, what do you make of it?
Well, I mean, it's so fascinating to me. I love the, first of all, the June 26th, what's happening with that. So it was 2003 that we had Lawrence v. Texas on June 26th. And then in 2013 on June 26th, we had the Windsor decision, then again today. And so for 12 years,
big decisions in the battles
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And all of those happening on June 26th and just the 12-year time span is just unbelievable. And so the feeling was overwhelming. I was talking with Jim about that out there. As a politician, I thought my skin was so thick that I couldn't be really affected by news, good or bad, anymore. But I just immediately had a swelling of emotion, and the whole legal group that we were with today was just crying. So it was a big deal.
So June 26th becomes a very important day in history for so many Americans right now.
I suspect we're going to see June weddings increase dramatically now that there are more folks allowed to get married in June.
Jim Brandt, your reaction to this big Supreme Court decision today?
Well, personally, I've been an ally of the GLBT community like since 1975, so I'm just overwhelmed and gratified, and know so many people that are really happy. As a pastor, I'm ordained in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, and the country is catching up to the ELCA because about 4 years ago, we decided that we were affirming of same-sex marriage. And then as a scholar of religion, I'm very interested to see how it will play out and how the reactions will be, and kind of what some of the legal ramifications will be. And that, I haven't been able to look at the decision yet, but that will be important to look at, and we'll see how it plays out.
Peggy Lowe, you've been surveying reactions from around the country, not all the reactions as glowing. What are you hearing?
Well, what's interesting is no one was very surprised at this. Pretty much everyone on either side expected the court to go this way. That said, there was just really a rush of jubilation, as Jolie said, from the advocates for gay marriage, and said it's a great day. It's a momentous day. You know, the other side wasn't so happy, obviously. And for the second day in a row, basically, a lot of conservatives were saying they don't like this activist court. Here in Kansas and Missouri, you know, the Kansas state government is still appealing a federal court ruling. Mm-hmm. And so Governor Sam Brownback said activist courts should not overrule the people of this state who have clearly supported the Kansas Constitution's definition of marriage as being between one man and one woman. So we'll see where it goes in Kansas. We haven't heard from the AG of Missouri just yet.
Okay. Well, Madeline McDonough, you were once again in the court this morning. I bet the atmosphere was so thick you could have cut it with a knife. I understand you were sitting next to one of the attorneys involved in this case. How tense was she?
Well, yes, I was there actually both yesterday and today at the beginning of the Supreme Court bar line outside. I have gotten to know Mary Bonato. She is the lawyer who argued this case before the Supreme Court. And then today when we were ushered in, I was, you know, kind of suggested by the guard to sit right at the seat, right in the very front row in the middle of where the justices are. And that was right next to Mary Bonato again. So we also had about an hour and a half before the arguments actually started, so we had a nice conversation. She is an earnest, hardworking, dedicated person. She is not some, you know, somebody who's going to step beyond the bounds of anything that would be, you know, cautious. She's really a dedicated lawyer who is looking out for clients and trying to do the right thing. I know she was anxious, but completely professional, took lots of notes during both the majority opinion delivery and the dissent. And I think she was just gearing up, frankly, to go outside and talk to the media and other people who were going to be finding her. But she is really a cautious, careful, hardworking person, in my opinion.
Hmm. Madeline McDonough is a lawyer with Shook, Hardy & Bacon. You walked outside after the ruling was announced. Madeline, what did you see out there on the steps of the court?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I guess I keep comparing it to yesterday with the Affordable Care Act. It was a lot of organized demonstrations yesterday because of that, but today it was amazing. I have never seen the guards let the crowd all the way up to the bottom of the front steps. Usually they're kept at the distant steps, about probably 120 feet back from the steps that you take to get right up into the court. Today they let them go right up to the bottom of the, you know, opening steps. And it was packed. I have actually never seen it so packed. Even when they argued this case, even during the DOMA arguments and opinion of delivery or any of the other, you know, gay-related issues before the court, it's never been this crowded. All sorts of groups everywhere. I would say it was probably 75% pro-same-sex marriage and maybe 25% not. But very peaceful, as always, there. And, you know, really loud, organized, you know, lots of prepared signs, very professionally done. It was really kind of an exciting moment, almost no matter which side you were on, because it was just such an engagement from the public right outside the courthouse.
You know, Madeline, this decision was 5-4. Anthony Kennedy, once again, in his what's becoming a very storied legal career, the swing vote on this issue. Were you surprised by the 5-4 rule, 5-4 split, or not really?
I was not surprised by that. Some people actually thought that perhaps Justice Roberts might even find for same-sex marriage based on a gender argument, because he's been speaking about that generally lately, and he had a couple of questions about it in the argument session of this, but of course we know now he went with the dissent, so it was 5-4. I think there were some people who still wondered if Justice Kennedy would go with the majority on this on both questions. You know, this case actually involved two separate questions. One was, must states perform, you know, same-sex marriages under the Constitution? And the second question was, if they don't, must they at least recognize those same-sex marriages performed in other states legally? And I think some people thought Justice Kennedy might simply answer the second question, yes, so that at least some states would have to recognize those if they didn't already perform them. But today he went yes, basically on both questions right out of the box. So that was a bit of a surprise, I think, to some people, although he has now a rather important growing history of pro-same-sex rights that he's been finding in the DOMA opinion and in Windsor and in other related cases. So he is becoming, you know, in some, I've actually seen this in some SCOTUS blogs, that gay icon legal justice. I don't know if he would ever go that far, but that's what he's being called in some quarters.
Peggy Lowe from KCUR, what does this decision mean right now in Kansas and Missouri?
It means that everyone should be able to get married. And we have reporters at many of the clerk's offices and the recorder's offices. That said, you know, Governor Sam Brownback said he will review the decision. So we don't quite know if he will continue to fight it. And Kansas has fought this up to the Supreme Court already. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do.
What else is there left to fight? Once the Supreme Court has ruled, are there other fights to be waged here?
I can't see that legally, but they still do see that legally. So they will, you know, fight on, apparently, if they so choose. That said, I think, too, that what the conservative movement is taking this as a way to raise money and to really solidify the base to fight even harder. Then on the other side, too, for instance, we had a statement from Dan Nielsen from the Mid-America Gay and Lesbian Chamber, and he said, we need to continue to march towards equality, especially for non-discrimination policies in the workplace. It's unacceptable that gay and lesbians can still be fired for, being out on the job, that kind of thing. So both sides, I think, will be heartened by this decision in whatever ideology they go towards.
Yeah. Well, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you agree with this decision? Did the court go too far? 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Joe from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning. You there, Joe? Mary Ann sent us her thoughts. There was a similar Supreme Court ruling in the 1960s when I was in high school that legalized interracial marriages across the country. If we didn't have that Supreme Court decision, I believe there would still be states who consider an interracial marriage a crime. The same-sex marriage decision is good for our nation. I agree with the court that you can express your own opinion, but you can no longer discriminate against these couples. Pamela writes that she was happy about the decision, too, but made this observation. The bad news is that LGBT people in Missouri can still be fired from their jobs, evicted from their homes, and denied access to public accommodations and services. Peggy Lowe, that was exactly your point.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And to your point, too, about the legal, Brownback's legal arguments, Doug Bonney from the ACLU of Kansas said, you know, they are constitutional officers, and it is their job to uphold the Constitution. So whether or not they continue to fight it will be really interesting to see.
Jolie Justice, in your new perch as a councilwoman from Kansas City, Missouri, does this ruling have any impact here that you can see, or what's the impact going forward?
It's a huge impact, and frankly, one of the things that people are excited about today, obviously, is equality, but the legal piece that comes with this is huge. There are thousands of couples in Missouri right now who have gone to other states to get married, and then they've come back to Missouri, and they right now are filing their taxes as married people on the state level and on the federal level. But if their marriage were to end, there's no way to get a divorce. And so that is an issue that is incredibly, and frankly, it's incredibly important, and it's personal to me, Steve. As you know, 6 years ago, I went to Iowa and got married myself. And unfortunately, 2 years later, my wife left me, and I was left in a legal limbo where I was not able to get divorced. I was able, through the court system, to get a legal annulment in 2014. But I will tell you what, families that are dealing with issues of custody, with issues of property and debt settlement,
right,
they've been in limbo. I've had calls from soldiers who are stationed at some of our military bases. They were married legally in another state. They were transitioned to a military base in Missouri. And then unfortunately, as happens, their marriage came to an end and they were stuck in a situation where they couldn't get custody agreements.
So, Julie, how does this Supreme Court ruling today impact things like gay couples' ability to get divorced?
So this will allow, there will be no question any longer that divorce laws will apply to same-sex couples in the same way that they apply to opposite-sex couples. Now, there will also be a lag time, I'm sure, as courts sort of sort through some of this. But other issues that are going to come up have to do with death benefits, have to do with pensions, have to do with all of those thousands of legal rights that opposite-sex couples have had for decades that same-sex couples have been denied. So in addition to just the sheer magnitude of the equality of today's decision and the celebrations, the legal ramifications are huge because for the first time in couples' lives, they're going to have those thousands of benefits that flow with marriage.
Yeah. We go back to some calls here. Morris from Kansas City, Missouri. Morris, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
How you doing? I'm going to make this quick. I believe the Supreme Court went too far. They did not put this to a vote with the people. They did it themselves. God did not change his mind. And he, as a minister, and as the guy there said, he's a pastor, he can't explain to me or anybody else who's professing to know God where God stated that men being with men and women being with women is okay. Nowhere in the Bible does it state that. And I'll listen to the comment off the air.
Okay. What about the biblical implications for this as you look at this, Jim Brandt? And again, you're with St. Paul School of Theology. Go ahead.
Sure. Traditionally, the biblical Bible's been interpreted, you know, to oppose same-sex marriage or love. And most modern scholars would say today that the Bible has nothing to say about sexual orientation as we understand it. There was no concept of sexual orientation at that time.
Wait, so, Morris, hang on. I'll get back to you. Hang on a second, Morris. Go ahead, Jim.
So how we interpret the Bible depends on how we see the overall drive of the Bible. And as we think about the Bible, it focuses on moving towards wholeness, it focuses on liberation, it focuses on justice. And if you think about all of those issues, all of those support movements towards equality and acceptance and recognizing that love, whoever is involved, is to be affirmed.
Sure. Seeing it that way.
No, sir. The book of Leviticus 17 chapter states, a man should not lie with a man as he do with a woman. For it is abomination unto the Lord. It says a woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, for it is abomination unto the Lord. It speaks of inordinate affection and inconcupiscence. The Bible never changed. It's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I don't hate gays or lesbians. What the problem I see, though, is marriage is an act as God ordained between a woman and a man. If he didn't need a woman to be married, he would have never put Adam in a deep sleep. The Bible did not change. And to interpret the Bible says you should not add to nor take away from the word. And that pastor should know that.
Yeah. Okay. Jim, respond to that.
Just two quick things.
Yeah, please.
One is, if we think about the biblical understanding of marriage, for most of the Bible, polygamy was understood to be acceptable. And very few people in our country would affirm that today. I think the other quick thing to say about the Bible is we could distinguish two ways of approaching the Bible. One is to think about the Bible as a chain where if one link is broken, then the whole thing doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not my view. My view is more like the Bible is a like a target, and what's most important is what's central. Mm-hmm. And what's central in the Bible is love and justice.
Peggy?
I would also suggest that this ruling today does not have anything to do with churches. And this ruling can't force churches to hold same-sex marriage. This is actually not about the Bible or religion at all. This is about legal status. So marriage is not just a religious sort of, setup. It's also it's a legal and governmental setup. So there's that. I would also suggest that the religious community is somewhat split on this. For instance, Emmanuel Cleaver, the congressman who's also a Methodist minister, he sent out a statement today that said, Jesus is always about love, and this is about love today.
Okay, back to some calls. Let's go to Ray from Shawnee. Ray, you're on the show. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I'm a 60-year-old straight, nerdy, white male. And growing up, my father used the same biblical argument about why black people should not mix with white people. And he could find every little thing in the Bible to prove that. Jesus never said anything like that. I think this is a great day for America, a great day for equality. And I think the tide has turned.
Okay. Ray, I'm glad you called. Thank you. Appreciate it. Jolie, the American public's opinion on same-sex marriage has changed in recent years where more people thought it should be recognized. What do you think has attributed to this rapid change we've seen here?
I think it's a multitude of things. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is just the sheer number of people who have come out and said, I am gay, and I am your neighbor and your sister and your brother and your State senator. And so those are, I think, just the fact that people come out and have continued to come out, that has just changed dramatically. But then, of course, we did see a very organized legal effort to get to where we are from a legal perspective today. There is no question that there has been a group of folks who have been working very long to make sure that we get this legal. And with every single opinion that we had across the country, you had more and more supporters. It's been 11 years now, has it, since Massachusetts had their court opinion. I think it's 11 years. And everybody saw that that did not change Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And then we had one state after another after another. We've had 6 years of Iowa with legal marriage now. And the reality is that folks realize that it doesn't change things. And so the opinion really starts to sway.
Madeline, I'm wondering what you make of the rapid pace of cultural change in our country on this issue.
Well, I agree with what Jolie said. In some ways, it seems very quick, but for a lot of people who had been in the closet for decades and decades, if not even going well back into history, this may seem long overdue. I do think that was part of the dissent's position today in the opinion, and there was a very strong dissent by Justice Roberts, and he almost intimated that he actually agrees with gay marriage. He didn't say those words exactly, but he did take great issue with the way in which the opinion was reached. He felt that this should be left to the legislative process, and he worried that five lawyers on that bench who are unelected have changed history by deciding what they felt was correct before legislatures had a chance to do that. He intimated that he thought legislatures were moving in this direction already fairly quickly, and that if they had only let that play out, we would have gotten to this position soon. Having said that, I think in the majority opinion, Justice Kennedy tried to answer that by saying, you know, you cannot put things involving fundamental rights to an election. And dignitary wounds, he said, cannot always be healed with the stroke of a pen. And he alluded to a lot of opinions that had been later overturned, like Bowers v. Hardwick, which was the Texas case finding criminalization of homosexual acts. And then later, Lawrence v. Texas, which overturned that. And Justice Kennedy discussed the, you know, harm that was done for years and years in between those two dates, where, yes, history moves and it is evolving in some ways quickly, in some ways not, but harm is done to people in the interim. And so, you know, you can't put fundamental rights up for an election because those people are hurt in the meantime, including the children of some same-sex marriages. He really focused on the stigma and humiliation and lack of legal rights that children of same-sex marriages have.
All right. Joe from Kansas City, Missouri. Joe, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi. I had a question of the legal ramifications of today's decision. If a same-sex couple approaches a minister or pastor, and the pastor refuses to marry them based on theological reasons, could the couple sue them or have, like, legal options available to them? And what would the implications for the state be? Like, could they force the pastor to do it, or what would that be like?
Jim Brandt, hop in here.
The scholarship that I've looked at, people that deal with religion and the law say that's very unlikely that a church or pastor could be forced to perform a same-sex marriage if they were opposed to it. So I think that's very unlikely.
That doesn't change. Does that help, Joe?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, Jim, also, you know, civil marriage is now legally recognized, but for same-sex couples active in a church that does not sanction gay marriage, does this decision bolster their efforts to have their church change its doctrine in any way?
I think it will to some degree. I think one of the things we need to remember is that a particular congregation may be for or against same-sex marriage, a particular denomination. But within each of those congregations or denominations, there are people on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me one of the things that comes out of this today for the religious community is that we need to continue to be in conversation with each other, to try to understand each other and try to find ways to move ahead and be civil.
Mm-hmm. We have an interesting text here. Rainbows for Us, a group titled Rainbows for Us, emailed us this clarification. It really doesn't matter what the Bible says. The Supreme Court ruled on the legal contract of marriage, a civil law. If someone's religious beliefs do not allow gay marriage, I respect that. This ruling is about a civil contract. Jolie, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, frankly, this is really the way many other countries across the world have handled marriage in general for centuries, where you have a very separate civil contract, and that is separate and apart from the religious marriage that you have in your own church. And I think that we're probably just catching up to that here in the United States, and that concept has been hard because for so many people in the United States, there's the one ceremony. And they're absolutely right, though, the caller or the person who wrote in is correct. This is about a legal contract today.
Okay. Back to some calls here. David from Kansas City, Missouri. David, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Yeah, I just wanted to say my partner and I were married in Jackson County on April 24th, and I really appreciated the way Jackson County handled it. The forms had already been updated to be gender neutral, so one of us didn't have to pick who was going to be the husband or wife, and just very appreciative of that whole process, and also very proud that Jolie is now serving on the council and representing us, and just it's a great day for Kansas City.
All right, David. Thank you very much. James, one other sort of technical issue I wanted to run by you. What does this mean for a religiously affiliated institution? I'm thinking about a university that offers married heterosexual students housing but refuses the same accommodation for married gay and lesbian students.
Now, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure how that will play out, but there could be challenges based on anti-discrimination laws. So, on the other hand, there are protections for religious freedom. So I think that's a very interesting question that we'll have to watch and see how that plays out.
You know, Madeline, I'm just wondering from your vantage point, just how big a deal is this ruling today? Let's back up to 10,000 feet and take a look here. How big a deal is this ruling?
It's a big deal. Jolie alluded to the idea that there were thousands of rights that married couples get, probably without even really appreciating them because they haven't needed to. But for couples who are same-sex, and even if they have been able to find a state that they could travel to and get married, they still had those rights missing to them. And they do include tax benefits, adoption, travel issues, immigration issues. They go on and on and on. And I think it's something that a lot of straight married couples do not understand because they've always had those rights the moment they got married.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be hundreds of different legal issues that are affected by this. I think the first level is that a lot of those rights will now be granted to same-sex legally married couples. And they will extend, across the spectrum from taxes and on. But I also think that the issue of some religious organizations that receive federal dollars will need to be figured out. They may have to change their policies. They may challenge these rulings. I do think this will spawn a lot of legal challenges to organizations that have been able to, not extend the same rights to same-sex couples as they have, opposite-sex couples. So I think the legal issues, frankly, are going to be legion.
Jolie?
Steve, when I first got elected to the Missouri Senate, one of the first laws that we actually were able to pass to assist all families, but in particular LGBT families, was a bill relating to the rite of sepulture, which is the ability to handle your loved one's body after they've died. And it is amazing to me to watch as couples had to, over the last few decades, just cobble together a whole trail of paperwork so that they could do something as simple as bury their loved one, bury mm-hmm. their spouse when they died. Madeline is right. We are going to see, I think, a lot of probably litigation and challenges as we move forward, because mm-hmm. every single part of our lives at some point is governed by this, and everyone will not just jump in line automatically, and there will be some questions that we have to iron out. But what happened and why this decision is so enormous is couples will not have to cobble together a stack of 50 documents just mm-hmm. to be able to navigate their way through everyday life.
Right. And the lawyers for those gay couples who, like estate lawyers and tax lawyers, they might see their business go down a little bit because they won't have to do that legal trail.
Jolie, 3 years ago, could you have imagined this day arriving in the way that it has?
I don't think I would have guessed 3 years. And that's based on the fact that, we're still fighting, as everyone has mentioned here today, for basic rights such as not being fired for being gay, mm-hmm. not for, to not be kicked out of your home for being transgendered. It was 3 years ago that we actually were finally able to pass a version of that bill through the Missouri legislature. We got it just through the Senate side, didn't get it through the House side. We're still seeing those battles every day in Missouri. So I did not think that it would be this quickly, but I'm excited that it is.
Okay. We'll have to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Jolie Justice, a newly elected city council member in Kansas City, Dr. Jim Brandt with the St. Paul School of Theology, KCUR's Peggy Lowe, and Madeline McDonough from Shook, Hardy & Bacon joins us from her office in Washington, D.C. She was in the courtroom this morning. Thank you all for a great conversation. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.